Good afternoon. Afternoon, family of God. You hear me? All right. Today I will be introducing our guest speaker. Sister Audrey Ann Falkenberg is one of four sisters. Her childhood years were spent in Washington, D.C., Thailand, Brooklyn, New York, and finally on a farm, as you heard this morning, in Kentucky. She especially enjoyed farm life, and she intended to raise her own children in a country setting. God's plans were different, as we all know. In 1988, Audrey said yes to Bob's marriage proposal. And as we all know, he's the president of our conference. And life took on a whole new course. For 19 years of their marriage, Audrey and Bob lived in some of the most densely populated cities on the planet. So, though she did not raise her children in the country, she embraced and enjoyed the adventure of and for God's mission, raising a family in several of China's large cities. Today, Audrey serves as Southern New England Conference's stewardship director and its planning, giving, and trust services director. In the past, she served as development director, Adventist mission director, prayer ministries director, special needs director, share him coordinator, nursing manager, nurse supervisor, among other roles. She enjoys travel, jogging, hiking, anything that's outdoors, pets, ethnic foods, table games, and time with family. Audrey and Bob, they have three married adult children and two grandchildren that, in her own words, she would say they live too far away. Audrey is completing a Master's of Arts in Theology through Fuller Theological Seminary. She holds a Bachelor and a Master of Science degree in nursing, and she keeps her registered nurse license active. Her favorite Bible verses are, "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path," Proverbs 3:6. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me." That's Isaiah 6 in verse 8. Sister Audrey, welcome to Brooklawn, and may the Lord use you today for his glory.
Amen. Thank you very much, babe. We have with us today a special guest singer coming out of New York. Her name is Sister Stephanie Johnson. She's coming out of North Bronx. And we want to hear her melodious voice. I hope the AV folks are lined up to give her a good mic.
Happy Sabbath, Church. There's a line
that's been drawn through the ages. On that line stands the old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or his loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and the devils of hell. On the other, the angels in glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict. And the sun, it refuses to shine. For there hangs God's Son in the balance. And then through the darkness he cried, it is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there be no more. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is yet still in my heart, a battle was still raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home, but these were battlefields of my own making. Didn't know that the war had been won, but then I heard that the King of the Ages, he had fought all my battles for me. That victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free. It is finished, the battle over. It is finished, there be
finished. I mean, we could just stop right there and praise God. We have heard what we need to be inspired for the next week. I want to say it's an honor for me to be here on Honors Day at your church. And I want to thank you for the lovely fruit basket. And I promise to share it with my husband, though I'll have a long drive home later on today. And can I open it before I get home?
Sure.
All right. Okay. That's good to know. So I come to you on behalf of my department, but first, I also represent the Southern New England Conference. Do you know the three states that are part of this conference? What are they? Very good. Okay. Now, do you know how many churches, congregations, fellowships are meeting across the conference today? Any guesses? 170. And it is exciting because today we have already reached the number of baptisms that we reached by the end of 2022. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And I understand we have a lady right here in our midst that probably your church clerk hasn't reported it yet to the conference, and we're going to be way over. God is good. But that is no reason for any of us to sit back and walk into this fortress and say, we're finished. No, no, no. This church is a fortress for you to come in and to rejuvenate and to prepare yourself to go out week after week, day after day. But let this church be a fragrance. Let it be a fragrance that permeates your life, that pours into the lives of others and into this community. See, I am at a pretty good place because when I come into a church, I don't know, since I'm relatively new here, I don't know that much about the church, the dynamics. I can say about anything I want, and you cannot take it personal unless it is personal. So my hope is that this church is a fortress for you. It's a safe place for everybody that walks in here, and that it's also fragrance, that if this church's doors were to close tomorrow, this community would miss you. Terribly. Are we serving God's purposes here? So today my husband is not so far, and I'm sorry, I'm going to look it up to see where he is because, let's see, he is in New Bedford Spanish Church. And then this afternoon we meet at the Stratford Spanish Church because it will become a church after being a company. And then tomorrow, we get to go join a deaf camp meeting. So I have to tell you that this conference is amazing. After living in China for so many years, I mean, I love the Chinese people, but over there wasn't as much variety as there is here. And variety is the spice of life. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So I've enjoyed this year a Portuguese camp meeting, English camp meeting, Spanish camp meeting, Haitian camp meeting, Cape Verdean camp meeting, and tomorrow a deaf camp meeting. We are a part of something exciting and vibrant and dynamic, and God is using all of us. An exciting thing is, though we all have our own little camp meetings and each church has its own family dynamics, your conference is working to bring everybody together under one roof for a big convocation. That is not an option at the Southern New England Conference grounds anymore. It just doesn't happen. It can't happen. So we're looking forward to uniting not only in mission in our minds and in our philosophy and goals, but coming together in body and spirit. So we're praying and looking forward to that day. So I represent the Plan Giving and Trust Services Department at the conference, as well as the stewardship department. Now, stewardship is not a bad word. It is a positive thing. And it's not all about your money, honey. It's about how you live and give and thrive and move with the talents and the gifts that God has given you. And that's what your conference is here for, to encourage you, to remind you that giving is part of living. And the Planned Giving and Trust Services Department is here to journey with you, to share information with you as you plan for present day giving and for future giving. Parents, if you have young kids, have you made a will? These are things that we don't like to talk about. We don't like to think about. But unless the Lord comes, it would be good for all of us to have one in play. So your conference is here to journey with you on that process and to invite you, if you feel compelled by the Holy Spirit, to remember God's work locally, around the conference, across the nation, around the world. Now, afterwards, after church, I set up some information in the lobby over here. Which is the lobby? Is that the lobby or is this the lobby? The foyer. Oh, that's the foyer. This is the foyer. Anyway, over here, I have some information that I want you to take and grab. Feel free. It's about stewardship, questions about tithing, sunset and giving calendar for 2023, though we're well into 2023. The sunset and giving calendar reminds us that Sabbath is connected with giving because we are creatures of the Creator designed to honor something beyond ourselves. There's a trifold. Maybe you just want to start learning about what it would mean to make a will. There's a piece of paper that will give you information about the services we can provide. There's pens. There's my business card. Grab it. And I have to tell you here. I'll just show you the one I've used because it seems like I've dropped it. But there's a sticker out there and I put it on the back of my phone and it says, Grateful Living. Grow God's Kingdom. And we all need reminders. Every day, all day long, are you being bombarded with how it's important to honor God, how it's important to give, how it's important to share? No, 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 no. Our society teaches us something different. It teaches us to get, to take care of ourselves, to step over the other person, to move up the ladder. So we need reminders. Grab a sticker, put it on your phone, and be reminded we need to live gratefully. And if we are living gratefully, we are growing God's kingdom. I would like to have a prayer with you before we move on. Let's bow our heads. Lord, again, I want to invite your Holy Spirit into this place. Your design has brought each one of us here. And I pray that I myself, that each person here will walk away more committed to growing your kingdom and living according to your purposes. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Amen. So I want to give glory today for the opportunity to be here. How many of you are just so excited that you got to come to church today? We contain our excitement in a unique way sometimes when we walk into church, and that's okay. But we are so blessed. Did you know that in China, okay, you can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl. Have you heard that? Well, there's another expression that I made up. You can take the girl out of China, but you can't take China out of the girl. So you're going to hear a few stories today from China. And I want you to know that in China, the government is closing our churches left and right. Hundreds of our churches have been closed in the past few years. And that's not Christian churches. That's our churches, in addition to many, many churches, as the Chinese government bears down and wants more and more control and less influence from the West. Now, if any of you know my husband, he's this tall guy. He doesn't blend in with the Chinese. And frankly, neither do I. So that is why we felt it was time to come and be a part of your mission field here. Guys, you've got it so easy here. We have it easy. I know we fret and we complain about the freedoms that we're losing in our country, blah, blah, blah. But we are so blessed. I have to tell you, one Sabbath, my husband and I traveled by train and we showed up at this church and it was in the bulletin. He was supposed to speak for area meetings. Now, his name in Chinese is Pastor Fu. Fu Musha. You just call him Fu Musha. And I am Fu De Li. I'm his wife, so I have the same last name. So Fu. Well, we went in there, and the local government official assigned to that church walked up to the pastor and said, Who are these people? And the pastor said, oh, they're the ones that are speaking today. He's speaking, and you know, you approved it. You approved his name. It's right here in the program. And the government official said, no, he is not allowed to go up front. Did your pastor have to go get permission from a local government to ask me to come here this week? No. In every church lobby, there's CCTV. Not so the people behind the foyer can know what's happening, but it is piped into the local police station because they're watching to see who comes into church. Is anybody from the Communist Party going into church? They should not be going into a Christian church. And no kids under the age of 18 are allowed in church. Now, I heard this morning as we were chatting in Sabbath school, which was a wonderful Sabbath school class, by the way. And those of you that didn't make it to Sabbath school, you missed out. You need to make sure you're here for Sabbath school next week.
Amen.
Anyway, the government does not want kids in church. And though our kids are often not in church for whatever reason, even if you wanted them to be in China, they would not be in church. What are you doing with the freedom you have? What are you doing with what God has given you? Are you managing his gifts in your life for his missional purposes? You don't have to answer out loud. This is a conversation you can have with yourself, with your spouse, with a friend, with family member. Let's fill in the blanks. Yesterday, I could freely talk about Jesus. So this is what I shared with my coworker. How would you fill that in? Here's another one. I am blessed with a place to call home. And because of that, the blessing of my home, I am. Have you seen how many shoes I have? Because of that, I will. Are you grateful for what you have? Are you honoring the giver of all that is good with what you have? You know, I used to think that being a Seventh-day Adventist was, I had to be connected with this long name. I mean, it just, you know, and then people confuse the name Seventh-day Adventist with other religions. And I'd explain, no, we're not them. What we are is this. But I have come to absolutely love who we are, Seventh-day Adventist. And those of you in here that are not baptized Seventh-day Adventist, you are here on a Sabbath. And I know you want to know Jesus better. So in a sense, you are a Seventh-day Adventist, even if you're not baptized. Why? Because you are here on God's seventh day, and God gave us this day because he wanted to remind us, to invite us to pause and reflect on the fact that he is creator and we are creatures. God knew that life would get crazy. I mean, even before sin entered, he designed it to have a special day where he could build a relationship with his creatures, with those made in his likeness. Seventh-day Adventist. Every Sabbath when we walk into church or wherever we are, it is God's way of saying, hey, I want to remind you that you are my creation.
Matt.
Settle down. Let's spend some time together. Now, as Seventh-day Adventist, that means we are looking forward to a great advent. We are looking for a time when it is finished. Oh, that song was just beautiful. I can't help but mention it again. We are looking forward to that advent when sin and sorrow and sickness and pain will be no more. Jealousy, covetousness, all these white sins, they will be no more. Seventh-day Adventist, that's who we are. And what I want to ask you is, what difference does that make in your life? Other than the fact that you show up here for a few hours. You know, when I walked in, because I'm new here, I'm noticing things that you guys are probably used to. And I saw up here where it said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Do you know your Redeemer liveth? If you do, raise your hand. So now I want to ask you, how did that affect the way you lived this week? Something to think about. Now, I've touched on the beginning of the Bible by talking about creation, Genesis 1, and I've touched on Revelation 22, the very end of the Bible, where it's all over because we've talked about the Advent. You see, the Bible says in Revelation 22, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Let's drill down to who you are, or should I say whose you are. You are God's creation. You were knit together in your mother's womb. You know, you might have a great relationship with your mother. I hope you do. Or maybe not so great. But you were knit together, fashioned by a God who is personal. You know, when you look at the story in Genesis of creation, we have two accounts. One where God was like, boom, 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 make it happen. Let there be man. And then you have the other version where God forms man with his hands. And then he kisses life into him. We serve a personal God who fashioned us in his likeness. Then we messed up. Whose fault is it that things don't go well? It is our fault. But then we who are our, were already his, he came around and bought us back. You are not only his, you are doubly his. You are not only in debt, you are doubly in debt. But it's not a debt that confines you or restricts you. It is a debt that delivers. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. You were made by him. You are his. I don't care how you feel about yourself today, how down you are, or if you think you're something else because of something you just got acknowledged for. You are God's creature, bought with a price. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So if you are his and I am his and everything you have is his and everything I have is his, what does that mean? That means your time is his, your talents are his, your treasures are his, your bank account is his, your body, the temple, is his. Let's look at our scripture reading from Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created humankind in his image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And then the verse just before that, God says, let us make humankind in our image. And in the verse after that, God reinforces it and says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. So we who God intended to have made in his image were made in his image. And then we were instructed, tasked given the privilege to have dominion. In the beginning, your amazing God, our amazing God, did an amazing thing. He made humanity, you and me, all of us, in his image. He made us like him. So you see what happened at the beginning when the devil kind of messed things up long ago in that far, far away place, is he not only, he wanted to be God. He wanted to be above God. But God said, I'm going to make them in my image. But are you God? No. And we must always stop to realize, though, we are made in his image. We are not God. And society will try to convince you every day of your life that you are in charge. That's what yours is yours. And by the way, if there's something left over, my time, my talent, my treasure, if there's something left over, then I'll give it to the church. But we need to be in the Word, because the Word is God's message to us on how to live. And if we are not living according to the Word, we are living a compromised existence. If we are not diving in to understand how we should live by the book, the manual for our very existence, we are going to mess up. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of self-help books. There's a lot of good information. My car manual is good if the light goes off and I'm by the street. But the manual for my life should be the Word of God. Amen. But sin has messed things up, and we do not reflect him well. Sin has made all of us, you, me, all of us, very selfish. We think we know it all. Whatever you've got going on that's good in your life, you are a steward of that. You are a manager of that. You have been given dominion over that, but you are not the owner of that. We are creatures. We have a creator. Remember, you have been made in God's image. So follow his instructions. You know, I have three children. My oldest, he's a pastor out, church planter out in Squamish, British Columbia. My second boy, he's a church planter. He's a pastor too in Redland, Oregon. And my daughter, she is a social worker and in Southern California, married to a gentleman in medical school. And like my bio said, they're all too far away. But I had the privilege of being the sole caretaker of my granddaughters. My two granddaughters live in British Columbia. And after being in China when they were born, and then COVID keeping us apart, when they said, Mom, can you come watch the girls while we go on vacation, just the two of us? I said, yes. How long will you be gone? Because I was happy to have as much time as I could have with them. When my son, Rob and Beth, when Rob and Beth left and I had the sole care of their girls, did I do it my way? Did I say, I don't care what your parents feed you, I'm going to feed you anything you want? Oh, your parents don't like you watching TV? No problem. We can watch it all day long. Candy? I want you to love me, so I'm going to give you lots of candy, even though it's not allowed. No, no. I was given two precious lives to oversee. And because I cherished that privilege, I was careful to honor the way my son and my daughter raised their kids. Does that make sense? So how in the world can we be so flippant with what God has given us, especially when we have the book from the beginning? We were made to reflect him and to manage what is his already. So if it walks like a duck, My dad used to say this. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it is a duck. It's a duck. Okay. Now, if a duck tried to bark like a dog, what would that be like? Oh. It wouldn't be a dog. It would be a, what would it be? It wouldn't be all it was intended to be. Now, let's say the duck tried to build its nest on a high rocky cliff. Picture this, on a high rocky cliff like an eagle. Tell me, how would that look when it pushed its babies out to swim? There is a plan for you that was based and manufactured, intended around the fact that you are God's design. Now, here it comes. The stewardship director from the conference is going to talk about money. Thank you for allowing me this space, Pastor. And the reality is if I don't talk about it, maybe you won't have any conversations that go this way. So I'm just going to say something that comes from the manual, you know, Malachi 3:10. By the way, you're getting messages again all day long everywhere that are contrary to this. But remember what the manual says. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. And then what does it say will happen? There will be blessings that there are so many you cannot receive it. I don't know who in this room pays a faithful tithe. Now, I can go back to the conference office and see in general, the general stats, if the tithe dollars are going up or down. But you have been asked by God to return the first fruits of your labor. Why? Because it's a practice that God wants in your life to remind you that everything else is His. Now, if things are too tight, maybe there's something else you need to cut out. Now, you need to make sure that you have housing, that you have food, that you have a car, and that you can pay your utilities. But above and beyond that, what is getting in the way of you putting God first with your pocketbook? And now, I didn't make this up, but somewhere in the Bible it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What does that mean? Let's follow the blueprint. Let's follow the blueprint. And I bet your life will improve and you will want to give even more. I mean, how many of you love to give gifts? Now, how many of you love to get gifts? But I can honestly say that I enjoy giving just as much, if not more, than receiving, because there is something that kicks in that feels good when you give. If you're not in practice and it hurts to give, start with paying, not paying, excuse me, my husband would slap my hand. No, Audrey, you don't pay tithe. You what? You return tithe. Thank you very much. You guys know this stuff. God will bless you, I promise. Try it. It's fun. I remember I was out visiting my daughter and I went on a jog and I came down by this grocery store and there was a father and his son. They were standing there. They looked clean cut. They looked, you know, they didn't look like they were impoverished or that they didn't have a home to stay in, but they said, "Can you help with some money?" And the father's English was very broken. They were from Europe somewhere. And the son, you know, just explained that their situation. And I said, "I don't have any money, but I've got my smartphone and Apple Pay, and let's go into the grocery store." I had no idea that what it would ring up to. But he said, "Well, what can I get?" I said, "You get anything that you think your mama would need. You get anything that you think she would need." So we went up and down the aisles and we bought things that I've never put in my grocery cart before. And it came to over $350. And my husband called me and says, Audrey, what's taking you so long on your jog? I said, well, I just went shopping. And I asked him to come pick me up. And he said, what have you been up to? And when I told him, his jaw dropped. But guess what? I'm here today. My husband's here today. And it feels good to have that in my memory bank. Practice generosity, and you will be filling a void in your life that God wants you to fill. You know, what does that say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I know it hurt. Jesus wept, but he did it for a purpose. And someday there will be a smile on your face and a smile like you can't believe on Jesus's face. Why? Because he gave everything. I can't get into the details of your life. I have no idea. You were made in God's image, and you were created to give. This morning, we honored people that have given to this church. I wish every church across this conference would every Sabbath celebrate that kind of giving and that kind of living. It would remind us of what's important when society is giving us a very different message. If we don't talk the talk that the Bible has given us in the blueprint, in the manual for our lives, people won't hear it. Demonstrate it. Show it. I want to tell you a story about Abram LaRue. And I know we're getting hungry, and I'd feel really guilty for still being up here, but we've got lunch prepared, I think, close by. So let me tell this story. How many of you have heard of Abram LaRue? Abram LaRue was the first, well, I'm not going to get to the punchline. So Abram LaRue was a mariner. He worked on ships, and he went port to port, and he did very well for himself, but he lost it all. And he got that memo that there had been a fire and he had nothing left. With his nothingness, he did nothing. He turned his back on God. He decided, I'm checking out of society. And he moved into the mountains of California and he started shepherding sheep, living a very much a hermit's life, all about poor Abram LaRue. But a neighbor, was a good steward of what God had given and began to share the message of Jesus and Jesus' love and forgiveness. And soon, because the neighbor was a good steward with the information they had and the time given them, Abraham LaRue became a Seventh-day Adventist. And in his heart, he knew he had to do something with that. So he said, I want to be a missionary to China. So he wrote the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and he said, we don't have any missionaries in China. I want to go. I want to go to China. And you know what the General Conference said? You're too old. He was in his 60s. They said, you're too old. He said, I'm going anyway. So he got a bunch of books, headed east, landed in Hawaii with the church's permission, and he started selling books. He started giving Bible studies, and pretty soon all the books were sold, and there were people needing to be baptized. So he wrote back to the good brethren in California, and he said, you guys need to come on over here and baptize these people and take care of them because I'm on a mission to China. And that's what he did. On his own, with his own little books, no support from the church, all alone, he went to China, and he went to a harbor that he loved, that I love, Hong Kong Harbor, and he lived there, and he touched people's lives for Jesus. He spent 14 years there just networking on the docks, going down to Victoria Bay. He died in Hong Kong. And at the end of 14 years as a missionary, giving his all, honestly, if you look by human standards, he was a failure because not much came out of what he did. He invested his time, he invested his energy, his talents, but after 14 years, there were only a handful of baptisms, a handful. And most of them weren't even Chinese. There were other sailors that came to port. But the story gets better. Abram LaRue is buried in Hong Kong on a hillside in the cemetery called Happy Valley Cemetery. Bob and I lived in a building called LaRue Building, just above the cemetery. And many Sabbath afternoons, we would walk out the door of our apartment, go down the elevator, walk down the driveway, catch number 15 bus or number 6 or 63. They all work in case you go. We would take the bus down the hill and on the way, hop off and walk into the top entrance of Abram LaRue's cemetery where he's buried. And we would walk down to his graveside and reflect over one man who gave the little he had to his creator. Right now, there are over 500,000 Chinese Seventh-day Adventists. And because of what Abram LaRue did, the church grew in Japan and in the Philippines. And someday, I want to meet Abram LaRue. And I want to say thank you. And I want to tell him that I carried the torch just for a little bit that you carried and you got started. What has been given you when it's all said and done? Will God say to you, well done, thy good and faithful servant? I know that there are goals and ambitions, and there are reasons to get bigger and better and do, but none of those can replace God's intentions for you. I want to invite you to reflect and take time to consider, am I living well? Am I living missionally for the Creator who gave me all I have? I know God has great plans for this church and great plans for each of you. And let me just encourage you to be faithful in the little things. You may not sense that reward today. And you young people, as you go through life, don't settle for something that gives you degrees or gives you honor or gives you prestige or gives you money. No, no, no. Settle for what you know is the highest honor, and that is to serve your Creator with all you are. I pray that God will bless all of you as you live for Him, as you engage in His missional purposes right here, right now, honoring God from one day to the next and whatever He impresses on your heart to do. God bless you all.